be waiting someplace, and if I don't have a safer with me while I'm waiting, I go stark raving mad. We always have to do something. The best thing, if you're waiting in line and you have to wait in line someplace, have something with you to read. So of all things, I happened to grab one of the pamphlets of Rav Mati Alon, and I went through the pamphlet, and it got my head working in all sorts of directions. And in great measure, the shiur is based on an idea that is presented very nicely, very beautifully by him. But then, you know, when it's always like this. Once somebody gets your head working, all sorts of things happen. Good things. Good things. The parasha is Parashat Re'eh. The parasha, of course, begins with a very definite presentation of one of the fundamental principles of all of Judaism. And that is free will. The parasha begins, Re'eh, Anochi, Notein, Lifneichem, Hayom. I want you to see that today I present before you Brocha Uklola, blessing and curse. The Brocha if you will listen, the Klola if you will not. What's clearly understood in the opening statement of this week's Sedra is that man is endowed with the ability to choose. He has free will. And then, number one, we come to a pasuk in the parsha that we have to understand how to translate it. It's very difficult even to read it. It says, when you come into Eretz Yisrael, then the only place where you can bring sacrifices, all sorts of sacrifices, will only be that place that God is going to choose. Lo tuchal le'echol b'sha'arecha. You cannot eat within your gates ma'asar d'goncha v'tiroshcha v'yitzarecha, the tenth that you give of the grain, the grapes, the wine, the oil, u'becharot b'korcha v'tzonecha, the firstborn of your cattle and your sheep, firstborn belong to the Kohen, have to be brought as a sacrifice, v'chol nedorecha asher tidor, and whatever promise you're going to make, v'nidvotecho trumat yadcha, or that which you are going to donate. Can't do it wherever you want. Kim lifnei Hashem Elokecha tochlenu, you can only eat it before God your God. V'makom ha'shiv chad Hashem Elokecha bo, in the place that God will choose for you, your sons, your daughters, your manservants, your maidservants, the Levi who is in your gates, v'somachta lifnei Hashem Elokecha, you will be happy before God. Two words are very difficult. Lo tuchal. How do you translate lo tuchal? Well, let's hear it. No, a real translation. You can't. What do you mean you can't? Of course I can. What do you mean lo tuchal lechol bisharecho, you can't? I mean, how many times has a little boy or a little girl were you told the difference between can and may? That's very good. Lo tuchal can either mean you can't or you're not able. You're not capable of. What do you mean I'm not capable of? I can very easily take that which should be eaten in Yerushalayim and eat it wherever my little heart desires to do so. It's wrong? Okay, so it's wrong. But don't tell me I can't. I'm eminently capable. What does the Torah want to say? The Torah wants to say, don't do it. So why can't this Torah simply say, Lo tochal b'sharecha, don't eat within your gates that which according to Jewish law must be eaten in Yerushalayim or the Beit HaMikdash? What a strange term. You cannot. Of course I can. And by the way, if I wouldn't be able to, there's not even a point in commanding me not to do it. If you're not able, then you're not able. The only time God has to command you not to do something is when you are eminently capable of doing it. And the Rosh Hashanah says, no, don't do it. But lo tuchal, what a strange term to use. Now, if you'll take a look, Rashi says, immediately beneath number one, Lo Tuchal. So Rashi says, Baha Katov li ten lo tasa l'adavu. The pasuk comes to tell us that there's a negative commandment. You transgress a negative commandment if you eat that which should be eaten in Yerushalayim or in the Beit HaMikdash if you eat it elsewhere. Lo Tuchal. Rashi obviously is troubled by the question we've just asked. And Rashi brings Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha Omer. Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha says, Yochol ata. Sure you're capable. Aval ein chorashai. You're not permitted. You may not. Okay? Little bicycle, learn the difference between can and may. Lo tuchal, you may not. So you know what? We're still back to the same question. So why use a term that simply doesn't mean that? If the Torah wanted to say you're not allowed to, oh, does the Torah have a lot of ways to say you're not allowed to, rather than using a term that leaves a completely different impression. Lo tochal bishorecha. That's what the Torah should have written. It says lo tignov, and it says lo tirtzach, and it says lo tinov. God can simply say lo tochal bishorecha. Or maybe if Torah wants to be a little softer, al tochal bisharecha, please don't eat within your gates that which you should bring to that place which God has chosen. Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha Omer, Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha says, Yochol ata, you can, you're able. You know, you're okay. But you are not permitted to do so. What Rabbi Alon points out that was to me fascinating, and I know, like, this is where he got me hooked, because I like these. You'll see right away what I like. In all of Torah, you will not find the term lo tuchal to express a negative commandment, except in Sefer Devarim. And in Sefer Devarim, you're going to find it four times. You don't have the others here? I'll tell you what the others are. And we can have another one right here in this Sedra, toward the end of the Sedra. It says, wait a minute. It says, Lo tuchal lizboach et ha-pasach. To the end of the Sedra. It says, Lo tuchal lizboach et ha-pasach. You cannot bring the carbon Pesach. That's in 16. Here we are, bottom of A, chapter 16. Here it is. I'll read the pasach. We have the Yomim Tovim, the whole list of Yomim Tovim. It says, Lo tuchal lizboach et ha-pasach ba'achad shorecha. You cannot bring the carbon Pesach in any one of your gates. Asher Hashem alekecha noten lach, that God gives you. Ki imal ha-makom, only you must bring it to the place that God has decided to have His name dwell there. Shom tizbach et ha-pasach. There, you should go ahead and bring the carbon Pesach. In next week's Sedra, Parasha Shoftim, we're going to come to the Parasha of Melech, King. Som tosim olecha melech. You should place upon yourself a king. Asher yivchar Hashem elokecha bo, that God will choose. Mikerev achecha, from amongst your brothers, tosim olecha melech, you shall place a king upon you. King can only be of clear Jewish stock. Lo tuchal latet alecha ish nachri. You cannot place upon you a stranger. Asher lo achicha, who is not your brother. What do you mean you can't? Of course you can. So we're going to say the same thing again. You're not permitted to. You may not. So why does the Torah use a term that clearly means precisely the opposite? Lo tuchal, you can't. Of course you can. Of course you can. Man has free will. You want to tell me, don't do it. So you know what you say? Lo tosim olecha ish nachri. Do not place upon you a famous beginning of Parashat Ki Tetzeh. Man is going to have two wives. One he loves and one he doesn't love. So it says, they're both going to give birth to children. The snua, the one whom he does not like, that's, you know, saying it nicely, v'ha ahuvan, the one he loves, and then the firstborn is the son of the one whom he dislikes. So the pasuk says, v'hoya b'yom anchilo et bonov, the day will come that he's going to give out the inheritance to his children. Lo yuchal levaker, he cannot choose the son of the beloved over the son of the despised. What do you mean he can't? Of course he can. You want to tell me he's not permitted to? Say it straight. Why does the Torah use strange terminology? And as has been pointed out, lo yuchal means can't, not capable of. Right in Parashat Yitro, immediately before Torah is given, God comes down that morning. He comes down to the top of the mountain, and he tells Moshe, Lech Reid, go down and tell the people not to come up to the mountain, because anybody who comes to the mountain will be killed. So Moshe Rabbeinu incredulously turns to God and says, Lo yuchal ha'om la'alot, the people can't go up. You've already warned us not to come up to the mountain. And we've set up barriers there. We've set up I don't know what to call it anymore. A fence? A security fence? A wall? I don't know what we've set something up over there. Right? Lo yuchal. Lo yuchal means you can't. You're not capable of. You're not able to. Is that the way to express a negative commandment? No, of course not. One more. You find something. Man lost something, and you find it. The pasuk says, and it's in Sefer Devarim, v'chein tasa lechamoro, so you shall do for his donkey, v'chein tasa lesimlato, you find somebody's garment, v'chein tasa lechol avedat achicha, so you shall do for anything that is lost from your brother, asher tovad mimenu, that he lost it, umetzota, and you found it, lo tuchal lehit alein, you can't simply turn away and make believe you didn't see it. Lo tuchal. What do you mean lo tuchal? I don't know. Do I have to say it over again? I don't have to say it over again. Of course you can. The Torah wants to say, don't look away. Lo titale. So number one, we have, one, two, three, four, five. Five times in Sefer Dvarim, it says, lo tuchal, when what should have been said was a clear negative statement. And why does it appear only in Sefer Devarim? What's so unusual and what's so exceptional and what does it mean? How are we supposed to read it? How are we supposed to understand it? It's a very strange term, and it's the kind of term that has to set us thinking. How do we understand it? Somebody's thinking. Go ahead. You are really saying two things over there. She's saying, could it be related to the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who's saying Sefer Dvarim? And then you said that it's not a direct, it's not God who's commanding. No, so the second part, I can't agree with you. I dare not agree with you. Lo tuchal to agree, because that would mean in a sense that Moshe Rabbeinu is using his own terminology, when the fact is that Chazal tell us that it was Moshe who said Sefer Devarim, but he got all the words directly from God. But it might very well be related to the fact that there's a certain message that Moshe Rabbeinu wants to convey to the people. He's speaking to them now. It's his last speech. This is immediately before they enter Eretz Yisrael. There's something that he wants to tell them. That, yes, that I agree with. We're going to digress from the words Lo Tuchal to another word. And when we understand the full significance of the other word, we're going to be able to put the two of them together. The other word is going to explain to us the Lo Tuchal that Moshe Rabbeinu says five times in Sefer Devarim. And that term is Sefer HaYoshar. The book of, and we're going to have to find our own translations for the word Yashar. Yashar. How would you translate Yashar? Straight ahead. Oh, I'm asking Israelis. Yashar, Yashar. Except that Yashar, Yashar usually ends up so crooked, you never find your way there. Yashar, Yashar, Visham Tisham. What a silly question of me to ask what the word Yashar means. All right, you're right. Yashar means straight. Yashar means correct. What scroll I saw in there, Chumash translates it as fair. Because we're going to have to deal with a pasuk also that appears in Sefer Devarim. We're going to come to it right away. Va'asita ha-yosher v'hatov be'enei Hashem Elokecha. A mitzvah that you should do that which is right, correct, straight, and good in the eyes of God your God. Because two places in Tanakh we have the term Sefer HaYoshar. One is, we'll see it all right away, one is Yehoshua commands the sun, Shemesh B'Givon Dom, sun, stop over Givon. Givon is someplace around Neve Yaakov. The Yoreach Be'emek Ayalon, it could even be someplace between Neve Yaakov and Tellstone, someplace in that general area. The further north from Neve Yaakov? Okay. Shemesh B'Givon Dom. The sun knew exactly where to stop. He calls upon the sun to stop in Givon and the valley over Emek Ayalon. I imagine immediately above Nof Ayalon of today and Shalavim. And it says that the sun stopped and the moon stopped, and there was never a day like this on which God listened to the voice of man. Halohi Ksuva, it is written in the Sefer HaYoshar. It's written in the book of straightness, correctness. There's a second time in Tanakh, in the very famous eulogy that David gives for Yonatan, for Shaul and his three sons. So he says, Lelame b'nei Yehuda keshet, to teach the Jewish people, the sons of Yehuda, how to shoot with a bow. They have to know how to fight. Halo hiktuva, it's written, b'sefer hayashar. And the Gemara wants to know, where is this sefer hayashar? On your sheet, number two, k'tiv vayomer, Lelameid b'nei Yehuda keshet, hinei ketuva al sefer hayashar. My sefer hayashar. What is the sefer hayashar? There are going to be three opinions in the Gemara. On the left hand side of the page, up at the top, number two. My sefer hayashar, second line, Amrab Chia Baraba, Amrab Yochanan, ze sefer Avram Yitzchok v'Yaakov. The Sefer HaYashar is the Sefer of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Shenikru'u Yisharim, that were called Yisharim Dichtiv Behu, because it says about them, Bilam the Rasha said, Tomos Nafshi Mot Yisharim, let my life die the death of the straight ones. In other words, Bilam wants to live like a Bilam, but he wants to die like Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov. that's really expecting a little too much. Live like a shtick Russia, cruel and brutal killer, but to die a very old age, peacefully. Thomas Nafshi Moshe Shadim. My end should be like this. All right. We don't have to go any further. Next, you'll see Rabbi Elazar Omer says Sefer Mishneh Torah. The second opinion in the Gemara of Sefer Hayasha. What is the Sefer Hayasha? That's Sefer Mishneh Torah. Mishneh Torah is Devarim. Okay, that's bringing us a little closer to where we want to go. Vamai Korolu Sefer Hayasha. Why is Devarim called Sefer Hayasha? Because it says in Sefer Devarim, Vasita Hayashar Vahatov Be'eni Hashem. You should do that which is Yashar and good in the eyes of God. Here we're going to have a problem. I can very well understand, and the Marsha asks this question on the Gemara, I can very well understand why you can call Sefer Bereshit Sefer Yesharim, because it's the Sefer of Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Nearly the whole Sefer talks about Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. It's the story of the lives of these people who were Yesharim. By the way, we still don't know what Yashar means. That's going to be very, very important. But Sefer Devarim, because once it says, Vasisa HaYashar VaHatov, you should do that which is right and good in the eyes of God, that turns the whole Sefer into Sefer Yesharim? We'll come back to that in a moment. There's going to be a third opinion. The third opinion is, Rab Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Omar says, Sefer Shoftim. After Yehoshua comes Shoftim, we're not talking about the Parsha Shoftim, we're talking about the Sefer Shoftim. Why is Sefer Shoftim called Sefer Hayasha? V'amai Korolu Sefer Hayasha? Dichtiv, because it says, and this happens to be a pasuk that appears twice in Sefer Shoftim, once at the beginning, and it's also the last pasuk in Shoftim. Bayomi Mahem, in those days, Ein Melech B'Yisrael. There was no king in Israel. Ish Hayashar Be'enov Yaseh. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. There was no central authority. Really, over here, Ish Hayashar Be'enov Yaseh doesn't seem to be terribly something of a terrible positive nature. We're talking over here about absolute anarchy, that everybody did his own thing. Vasita Hayosha Vatov is a pasuk that speaks about Yashrus that is positive, that's good, that should be emulated, that should be sought after, that should be longed for. In Sefer Bereshit, we're talking about the lives of people that should be emulated. Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. All right, so we have three opinions. The Sefer Hayosha is Bereshit, Dvarim, or Sefer Shoftim. Now we're going to have to get a little closer to an understanding of what is Yashar. What is Yashar? And you know what? We have it right here in our Sedra. Not only do we have Lo Tuchal in our Sedra twice, we have Yashar in our Sedra number three. See number three? Begin with Pasuk Zion. Isn't it warm in here? Or is it because it's hot in here? I thought it was only because I'm getting so excited about the topic. And I'm exciting you also. You're also warm. Very good. I like that. I remember that. Okay. V'achaltem shom l'fnei Hashem Elokeichem, and you shall eat there before God your God, u'smachtem b'chol mishlach yedchem, and you should be full of joy with everything that you do, atem u'bateichem, you and your homes, asher beidachecha Hashem Elokeichem, your families that God has blessed you with. Lo tasun k'chol asher anachnu osin po hayom. Don't do what we are doing here today. Ish kol hayoshor be'enav. Doesn't this sound very much like the psukim in Sefer Shoftim? Now, in Sefer Shoftim, it's clearly negative. It's talking about everybody has gone in all sorts of directions doing his own thing. Here, Rashi is going to explain to us that it doesn't mean Ish kol hayoshar be'enav, like, who cares? I'll do whatever I want to do. So there's a Rashi, it's underlined. Lo tasim k'chol asher anachnu osim. Musav l'malo, it goes on what it says before. Ki atem ovrim et hayarden, you're crossing the Jordan. I'll tell you simply what he's saying over here. There are going to be a number of periods in Jewish history with regard to where and when sacrifices can be brought. In the desert, sacrifices were only brought to the Mishkan. But when they cross the Yarden, there's going to be a period of time when there's not going to be a Mishkan, there certainly isn't going to be a Bet HaMikdash, there's not going to be a Bet HaMikdash for over 400 years until they finally build it. So there are going to be periods at which it will be permitted for a person to bring a sacrifice on what's called a bama. A bama is a private backyard altar. Cain, Hevel, Noach, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, they all brought sacrifices on improvised altars. There was no requirement that they come to any specific place or any specific kind of service that had to be done. There's going to be a period now when we cross the Jordan. There are going to be years of war. There are going to be years of dividing the country. During that period of time, anybody can bring whatever he wants. No, can bring his sacrifices on a private bama, on a private altar. The only thing is, on the private altar, you cannot bring communal sacrifices. You can't bring the Korban Tamid, the daily Korban Tamid. You can't bring the Musaf. You can't bring a Chatos. You can't bring an Osham. The only thing you can bring on a private altar is what's called Dovar HaNidor VaHaNidav, something that I personally vowed or donated. A personal sacrifice I can bring on my personal backyard altar. So Rashi says, you know, we don't have to go through, I told you the whole Rashi, except when it comes a line before it's underlined. Avol bibama, on a private altar, ein korev ela hanidor vahanidav. The only thing that can be brought on a private altar is that which a person made a vow to bring, not obligated to bring it, no personal nor communal obligation. He made a vow, or nidav, he donated. Vizehu. Rashi says that's the meaning of this pasuk of Ish Kol Yosha Beinov. Nedarim u'nedavos shatem mitnadvim al yedei sheyoshar beinecham lahaviyam. We're talking about vows and donations that are the goodness of your heart, because out of the straightness of your eyes, you want to bring them. V'lo al yedei chova, and not because it's an obligation. Otam takriv b'bama, them you should bring on the. Those are the kind of sacrifices that you should bring on the bama. So, what are we really saying over here? Rashi seems to be telling us another dimension of the word yashar. Usually, we understand the word yashar is there is a crooked way to do things, and there's a straight way to do things. Remember, you know, the Rebbe always used to say, you know, there are people who can go straight, and then there are people who go azay, krim, krim v'krim. You have to go yashar, yashar. Rashi is saying another meaning now for the word yashar. The word yashar is something that's not obligatory. Something that I see fit, I want to do it. And it's something good, something very good. And during the years that there will not be a Mishkan and a Mikdash, Ish Kol Yosho Be'enov Yase, every man has the right to do that which he sees is good in his eyes. And it's all al pi halacha, it's all al pi din. Let's go one step further. You know what Yosho really means? And the one who brings this to the fore is Shlomo HaMelech in Kohelet. Shlomo HaMelech in Kohelet says, Levad, Re'ezeh motzati, look at what I found. Asher yaseh Elokim et ha'adam yashar, God made man straight. V'heima bikshu cheshbonot rabim, and they are the ones who began to seek out all sorts of computations of all sorts. In other words, there's something called being straight. The way we're going to define it is, man from birth, he has a neshama. The Rebbe Shem didn't create people crooked or bad. God, the neshama comes from God. Do you know what a man by nature is? A man by nature is yosher. There's something pure, there is something holy, there's something straight, there's a common sense, there's a sense of what's right and what's wrong, what's beautiful and what's ugly. This is right there in man. And most people may very well possess it. But then, when one comes in contact or confrontation with the world, our sense of what's yosher and what's not yosher can become extremely crooked. We're not crooked by birth, but boy, can we become crooked in life. There's something impure and unholy that invades us. It can be the society in which we live. But at the core, we are yosher. Somebody who isn't spoiled can always be yashar. Rare. The purpose of Torah mitzvahs is to reveal yashrus, to strengthen it, to give man the ability to function on the basis of what's yashar. It may also protect man from the influences of an outside world so that my innate, pristine, natural, I'll use the word that will explain it better than anything else, my organic yashrus. If it's organic, it's tov. And man does possess an organic yashrus. What is the meaning? We're going to see two pieces that will explain to us what this yashrus is. One, yeah. By the way, that's one of the words I wrote down. Correct. On the second side, there's a number four. Now, the fact is, this number four requires not only a shiur in itself, but maybe a few shiurim. I'm only going to take out from this number four what we're going to need for this year. It's a frightening and powerful statement. Scary. This is the introduction of the Netziv, Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, who wrote the Hamig Dova Perush, the Rosh Yeshiva Volozhin. Until the yeshiva closed, or he closed it in 1892, sometime around then. He says that Sefer Bereshis is called Sefer HaYosher. And he says it's called Sefer Ayosha. He brings the Gemara in Avodah Zorah. We learned the Gemara in Avodah Zorah. You see where it's underlined? Let's go one line above that, because that's going to be related to Sefer Dvarim too. V'ho'inyin dinizbar b'shidas hazinu. In Shidas Hazinu, that's in Sefer Dvarim. It's going to say, Hatsur Tomim Polo. Hatsur tamim palo keil emunah ve'ein ovel tzadik v'yosharu. This is never, this is said by a Levaya. God, we say that God is the one that whatever he does is complete. There's nothing wrong with what he does. Tzadik v'yosharu. He's righteous and he's straight. By the way, in our understanding of Sefer Dvarim, I believe what's going to be necessary, that pasuk means the definition of God is tzaddik v'yosher. There is another mitzvah that appears twice in Sefer Devarim. And that mitzvah is to emulate God. Ubo tidbak, you should cling to him. How can you cling to God, the Gemara asks, when he is eish ochla, he is a fire that consumes? Eli, you know what the Torah means? Just as God is merciful, so you be merciful. Just as he is compassionate, you be compassionate. He feeds the poor, you feed the poor. he buries the dead, you bury the dead. I want to say, and that's going to be the message of the whole Shia. Sefer Devarim describes God as Tzadik the Yashar. And if God is Tzadik the Yashar, then you know what our mitzvah is? Mahu Yashar, Afato Yashar. Just as God is straight, so you should be straight. And that's the meaning of the mitzvah in Devarim, Vasiso HaYashar VaHatov. You should do that which is right, Yashar, and good. And I'm going to see two more definitions of it. V'inyan d'nidbar b'shidat ha'azinu ala posak ha'tzur tomim polo kichol d'rochov mishpat keil amunu v'eino tzadiv yashar hu d'shevach yashar. The praise of calling God Yashar is that he is Nemon lahatzdig din HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Listen to what he's saying. That we justify God's judgment against us b'churban bayit sheni. Listen to this very carefully. By saying in Hazinu, Tzadik v'yashar hu, and what he does, I accept upon myself as being an expression of what's just and what's right. And he says it's talking about the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash, because it was a dor ikesh upitaltol. That generation was a generation that was crooked and going in all sorts of directions. So he says the following. Oh, this is a very, very difficult few lines that I think are very famous. Upirashno, we explained that in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, the second Beit HaMikdash, Hayu Tzadikim v'Chasidim v'Amelei Torah, they were people who were righteous, pious, and they toiled in Torah. Ach lo hayu yisharim v'halichot olam. In daily conduct, they were not yoshar. And that's how he understands the idea of sinat chinam, for which the second Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. Al kein mitnei sinat chinam shebelibam zeh et zeh. Listen to this. I mean, it's unbelievable what he says. They suspected one another. Mi shero shenoik shelo kedatom. If they saw somebody conduct himself not according to their opinion, biyidat Hashem, anybody who doesn't do what they think is right, they called an apkaychus and apkaycha beker. If you didn't do things precisely the way I think that they should be done, then you're no good. They called them tzeduki v'apikores. Ubolu al yedezer. Through this, they came to shvichas damim, to spilling of blood, bederech haflaga. In other words, in an exaggerated term. Because you can be mevaza somebody, you can shame somebody because you think he's a garnished. He may have a different shita. He may have a different custom. He may conduct himself in a different way, but that guy doesn't like it. Therefore, I'm an apikurus and a kaifa. So you spilled people's blood. You spilled people's blood. I don't read the wall signs in Yerushalayim. I have a sneaky suspicion. The only wall signs that don't spill anybody's blood are the obituary notices. Because it's too late. All the rest of them, or many of the rest of them, may very well be spilling people's blood. Splattered on the walls. Splattered on the walls. Now, and this kind of an attitude of not being yashar brings to the worst things in the world, until the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. That's what we said, Tzadik v'yashahu. God is right. God is right. Listen to this. Shakodish Baruch Hu Yosherhu. God is straight. They know so veiled tzadikim keilu. He can't tolerate such tzadikim. Ela ba'ofin shehochem b'derech hayosha. The tzadik has to go b'derech hayosha. Gam b'halichot olam, even in matters of the world, v'lo bak mimut, no crookedness. Afagad shehu l'shem shamayim. He may think I can be a shtickle crooked, but it's a shame shemayim for the greater glory of God. The zegoreng, because this causes churban habriya, a destruction of creation, v'harisut yishuv haaretz, and it destroys the ability to live in the land. And then he says that was the great praise of the avos. The avos conducted themselves like menschen. respectable people to everybody, even to Goyim, whoever they came in contact with. It was a pleasure to deal with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That's why he says this Sefer is called Sefer HaYosha. This is quite an indictment. It's a scary thing. The scary thing is, it means, I had said earlier, that the purpose of Torah and mitzvahs is to reveal the inner yashrus, the inner straightness of the human being. And that's what it could do, and it should do, but it doesn't always succeed in doing it. And it may very well be, if somebody doesn't learn Torah l'shem shemayim, or his tzitkis is not l'shem shemayim, it can turn into something that's so crooked, and that's so wrong. I tell you, when somebody calls me with a shayla and says, Rabbi, I just want to know the din. Just tell me the din. I noticed tzuchus. I know that this fellow wants to use the halacha in his own way against somebody else. And then when you start beginning to ask the details of the question and you schlep it out of them, you begin to see a completely different picture. Completely different picture. Anybody who's been in my business for as long as I've been in my business, and I'm still amazed that you can see there's some of these wall signs where there's a question, a dispute of money between one person and another, or dispute between husband and wife. You can't hear one side. You can't ever make any decision on the basis. That's crooked, Shabbat crooked. The shilas that drive me up a wall more than anything else is the shilas between neighbors in a building. Between neighbors in a building. Neighbors. When somebody starts telling me something about his upstairs neighbor or his neighbor by the side, I don't know, he's been digging for the last few months, he makes noise, he leaves his garbage out, then I know I'm in trouble, because those are the worst. Those are the worst. I mean, when I come out onto my street, I get aggravated every day. If I come here and I look aggravated, it's because I walked out in front of the house and I saw all the dirt in the street and it drives me up. There's a certain yashrus, there's a certain sense of cleanliness and a priority of being straight. And sometimes you don't see it. You don't see it. Then, of course, there are people where you see it in such beautiful and majestic ways. What is Yashar? The next, the Ramban, the great Ramban. Vosiso ha-Yashar v'hatov. Rashi is going to bring it. The Ramban explains, you know what, Vosiso ha-Yashar v'hatov, you should do that which is Yashar and that which is Tov. Yashar is lifnim mishurat hadin. Not everything should be decided on the basis, just tell me the din, Rabbi. You know, don't, I don't want to know nothing else. Just tell me the din. No. Maybe you have to hear more than the din. Maybe somebody has to advise you that in this dispute, you have to be off the wall. It's nothing. It's insignificant. It's meaningless. What are you drinking a cup? People don't like when I say it to them. I say it nicer than that anyway. But no, the din. Sometimes I get a shiloh, well, a number of times, about two people to schlagen and zahargen sich over 50 shekel. And you know what you always hear? One takes the high moral position. It's not the 50 shekel. It's the principle of the thing. Right? When I hear that, I say, Rabbi Yishom, save me. Save me from this. You know it's not the principle of the thing. You just want to get that guy. I know what it's all about. It's the principle. Oh, God. That's one of the classic statements of a knave. Novel b'rishus ha-Torah. A knave who hides behind Torah. Hides behind the din. You can use the din or abuse the din, to embarrass people, to shame people, to cause them suffering. That's when Torah is not being learned the way it should, and Torah is not being observed the way it should. That's not Yashar. That's not Yashar. The person who is Yashar is the one who instinctively naturally, and I'm beginning to like that word organically, knows what's right. His neshama pashit hasn't been ruined. More than that, his neshama has been made even more delicate and sensitive to somebody else's feelings by his study of Torah. The whole purpose of this year is to say it has absolutely nothing to do with interpretation. You know what it has to do with? Was one's personality. A person has personality problems. He will use Torah as a weapon. What? In between husbands and wives, Torah is not used as a weapon. The halacha, she did this, she did that. There's a little bit here showing. There's this showing. I don't like the hashgacha that they're using now. So what happens if it has two badatzes? It doesn't have three badatzes. You know, there are all sorts of things that people can use. People use. Yes, Beth. It's a good question. It's a good question. Is it possible to be yashar without Torah? So I'll give you an example. That's one of the things I was going to say. Isidore Epstein, in his book, The Faith of Judaism, says we see people who are not observant, and their ethics, their morality, their conduct is absolutely impeccable. And then, unfortunately, you can find the other side. But when we're talking about the other side, let's not forget, most people who are Shomrei Torah mitzvahs are highly ethical and highly moral. The problem is the ones that get all of the publicity are the ones that are not the ethical or the moral ones. So he gave a very interesting example. He said the following. A train is going at 500 kilometers an hour, and then the conductor has to brake. So he puts on the brakes, but it's not going to stop on a dime. It can take a few hundred meters until it finally comes to a halt. So he says there have been so many generations of Torah by Klal Yisrael that created a Jewish personality. And even when somebody has shed Torah u'mitzvahs, but he's still moving on the inertia, the train is still going, with all of those feelings and manners of conduct and concern with the world and goodness and kindness. I mean, we are most probably the biggest builders of hospitals in the world. Is there a community in the United States that doesn't have a Mount Sinai? I don't know why they turned it into Mount Sinai, but all right. Or a Cedars of Lebanon. All right, Cedars of Lebanon. It certainly is part of the Jewish psyche and a very special part of Jewish personality. But there it is. It takes a few generations till it breaks, but when it begins to break, and then it comes out. Then it comes out in what may be very ugly fashion. I mean, I'm saying that there's one example that always is extremely meaningful to me. The most natural of all feelings is to be faithful and loyal to my family, to my people, to my nation. My people, right or wrong. That's natural. That's yashar. And then when you find so many people within our midst who simply betray our people, become our worst critics to the world. It's unbelievable. That's not yashar. That's chum. That's the worst kind of crookedness that's possible. It defies Yashrus. It flies in the face of what should be the normal, natural, healthy position of a human being. We remain faithful in difficult times and in good times. We remain faithful. But then to turn around and become one who hates with a passion. You know, of course, where all this comes to me. All of this comes to me because of the fact that, and I'm trying to, it's the truth is I'm trying to undo it. You know, what does a drug addict have to go through? What do they call it? Withdrawal. And then in addition to withdrawal, you have to go through rehab. Yeah, all right. I need rehab from the Haaretz, you understand? I need. It's very difficult. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't want to take Mariv and Yediot. I guess so people, you know, there are people who are addicted to all sorts of things that they shouldn't be addicted to. By the way, I need rehab, yes. I'm trying to sit and learn more so that I don't even want to look at the thing. Here there's a whole new sheet that's developing. You'll find out about it more. The Zionist undertaking is all over. The wave of the future now, again, amongst the great thinkers of this country is a nation, a country of two nations, and we the minority. And you have to read how they say it. That's the in thing now. The worst betrayal of Klal Yisrael. And this is from people who sound yashar, who look yashar, would never raise their voice to the levels that I do. They speak softly, but what a heck of a big stick they carry. But I have 7 minutes to bring this all to a conclusion. The Ramban. You see where it's underlined? What does Yoshar mean? If you say Tov, what can Yoshar add to Tov? So he says, our rabbis learned something very beautiful. They said, Zu pshara, compromise, vilifnim mishurat adin, and going beyond the law. And he goes on to explain, Torah can't tell you what to do in every situation that's going to arise between man and fellow man. Can't do it. You know what you have to count on? A little natural yashrus. Huh? A natural instinct for the good. And they give an example. Some of them became halacha. For example, Dino de Bar Mitzvah. Dina de Bar Mitzvah means a person is going to sell his piece of land. And there's somebody next to him owns another piece of land. The fellow who sells his land can sell it to anybody he wants to in the world, but the one who has the right of first refusal is the one who lives next door. It's not menschlich. What happens if the fellow next door wants to expand his land? So you're going to go sell it to somebody else. You know how far the halacha goes? Whoever buys it doesn't know it, but he bought it on behalf of the person whose land is next door. Menschlichkeit, what are you playing a cop? So you didn't like him. So there wasn't a good fence. So you didn't make good neighbors. Big deal. But you can't go ahead and deny a person this opportunity. I want to take you with what we're saying now. Maybe this is a little different pshat of lifnim mishurat hadin. Why doesn't it say chutz L'shurat Hadin, outside what the law requires? Because you know what Yashrus is? Going into the pnimius, the inside of the person. You're going within the din. You're going within your own natural feelings. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. To be Yashar is a return to the organic purity and sanctity with which God endowed man. Elokim also saw Adam Yashar. And then Krumkeit, that doesn't need translation. This morning I got upset, and this time was not by the Mariv. Jerusalem Post? America is demanding that Israel should stop destroying illegally built Arab homes in Yerushalayim. At the same time, that on the other side of the mouth, they're saying, you have to take down every illegally built settlement in the West Bank. One side, the other side. I don't know how Bush does it. He speaks out. You know, white men speak with forked tongue. That's crumb. I have to tie everything together. And maybe one final bit of information that's going to... The word Yashar appears seven times in Sefer Devarim. Yashar is directly related to the five times that it says Lo Tuchal. Because Devarim is Sefer HaYashar. You know what Sefer HaYashar means? You're going to become like God. Mahu Yashar, Afata Yashar. Just as he's straight, so you're going to be straight. So you know what? There are going to be things that you won't be able to do because you don't want to do it. Lo Tuchal, you know why you're not able to do it? Because you have made a conscious decision, I'm not going to do anything that's not Yashar. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu wants to teach in this whole Sefer HaYashar, Sefer Devarim. Because these people are now going to go into Eretz Yisrael and they're going to establish a state. In the Midbar, they didn't have any problem with somebody's retivut coming into the next one's tent. But you're coming into Eretz Yisrael and boy, you're going to have problems. You're going to have to deal with one another as human beings. You're going to have to establish a government. There's going to have to be justice. There's going to have to be righteousness. You're going to enter into a whole series of activities of daily life that's going to require of you that all of the yashrus that's within you is strengthened, is made powerful, becomes an active force in society. You have to protect that yashrus that it shouldn't become tainted. It shouldn't become spoiled. Nothing should ruin it. Torah and mitzvahs is that which cleanses, dusts off, polishes, brings to the fore, reveals that yashrus. If that Torah is sincere Torah, not the Torah of Bayit Sheni, which could become a destructive force in and of itself. Yashar is what we want you to be. When it comes down to the bottom line, that's the most important. The most important ingredient in the relationship between men and fellow men and in the relationship between men and God. Be straight. Not to be a dreyer. Not to be a dreykop. Not to find all sorts of ways out of what you should be doing. Attempting to use the halacha as a weapon against people. Can't do that. Can't do that. And I have my own, it's too bad. I'll throw in my own complaint. And if I decide afterwards I don't like it, I can just erase it from the end of the tape. In Har Nof, there is a campaign going on to fix the Erev, the third Erev. There's an Erev around the city, and Har Nof is part of the city. There's a Badatz Eid HaRedes Erev that includes Har Nof. But then there's a private Har Nof Erev. And the rabbis got together, put up signs in every house. The names of four rabbis don't appear on that list of rabbis. Gold, Rabbi Varhaftig, Rabbi Feuerstein, and the chief rabbi of Har Nof, David Yosef. So they tell me that there were some people who signed and said, if you can have their names on there, take our names off. So here, I was driving a few days ago, and I pick up, as a hitchhiker, one of the Choshev rabbis in Har Nof. And he thought, he got in smiling, he's going to get a ride. Oh, did I take him for a ride? I told him, you're making your chumridike erev lemahadrin menamahadrin, and the building bricks are sinner. Sinas chinam, machloikis, loshin hara, this you call building an Erev? Can't do that. Why wasn't I invited? Wait a minute, I told him. I don't think I told him the next part. Maybe I did or I didn't. I know only one person in... I'm going to get this on tape. I'm sorry, this is going to stay here. I know only one person in Har Nof about whom Rav Moshe Feinstein said, if he made the Erev, you can be Seimech on it. He said it on me. I had made the Erev in... Boy, I'm in a good mood today. Yeah, I like this. I'm beginning to like this. I made one of the first Erevin in America, which was West Hempstead. That started the whole trend to Erevin. And then I had a friend who was rabbi of Oceanside, so I helped him make the Erevin Oceanside. So some of the more pious people in Oceanside went to Rabbi Feinstein, you know, what's this business with this Erev? So he asked who was the one that gave instructions how to do the Erev. So he said, some young Israel rabbi, by the way, they're young Israel too, but I don't know exactly what they said. Shalom Gold. Shalom Gold, he said. Depend on it 100%. I'm not going to look at it. I like that. I'll tell you, it took months for somebody to finally tell me that. Yashar. Sefer Devarim is the Sefer HaYashar. It's the Sefer of Vasisa HaYashar HaTov. It's the Sefer of Tzadik V'Yasharhu. And when a person arrives at a point where his Yashar is healthy, then there are certain things that though he has absolute free will, he can't do them. Oh no, you kidding me? I'm gonna look away when somebody lost something and I'm not gonna do something about it. You're crazy. God doesn't want me to bring the carbon pest